Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, February 24th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 20, that sixth paragraph, starting with, "Then we have a certain type of hard drinker," through one paragraph ending, "and may even need medical attention." We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Julie P., 12 Traditions, Kathy P. Today's readers of the text are Sherry M., Chanel T., and Alex K. The reference number for Monday, February 23rd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,231. That's 23231. And for this morning, Tuesday, February 24th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,233. That's 23233. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Larry G., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Julie P. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. I am definitely a food addict, compulsive overeater from the state of Minnesota. Here are the 12 steps of OA. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sat through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service in February, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie P. I'll now ask Kathy P. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Morning. Kathy P. from Oregon. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Oh, thank you so much, Kathy P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 20, the sixth paragraph. Then, we have a certain type of hard drinker through one paragraph ending and may even need medical attention. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Sherry M. to please read and share with us. Morning, Sherry.
Yes, good morning. Okay, then we have a certain type of hard drinker. He may have the habit badly enough to gradually impair him physically and mentally. It may cause him to die a few years before his time. If a sufficiently strong reason, ill health, falling in love, change of environment, or the warning of a doctor becomes operative, this man can also stop or moderate, although he may find it difficult and troublesome and may even need medical attention. Okay, well, my name is Sherry M., and I'm gratefully recovered just for today here in Wyoming, snowy Wyoming, where we're having a blizzard currently. I'm just getting over a cold, so excuse my voice. But this is the part of our book. Compulsive overeating is a disease like alcoholism, which requires self-diagnosis. Nobody can tell me that I have this disease. I need to diagnose myself in order to get the solution offered, and I need to concede. So this page, page 20, end of 21, is giving different examples of different types of, we can change drinker for eater, and then we can identify in or out. These are types. So if I'm a hard eater, then I may be able to control, it sounds like when I stop and when I don't. It might be difficult for me and troublesome. I may have to go under lock and key with medical attention, but I might be able to stop if I'm a hard eater, if I have good reason, and that's not me. So I can just tell you that this is right off the bat, this is not me. Although I can say honestly that getting recovered, I had an interesting thing happen to me where I came into program completely, like there's nothing that can stop me. You know, I had a good friend in program, and this gives you a good idea about my disease. And the only thing that could stop her or help her to lose weight was her diagnosis of cancer, but then the doctor, I met her in the rooms, and the doctor told her that if you keep eating sugar, you're going to multiply your cancer cells. And there was nothing she could do to stop from ingesting sugar. And so having that strong reason, that's a real compulsive overeater. that all of the reasons I could die, you know, you can die, Sherry, if you don't stop, that I'm not going to have the power sufficient to stop me from doing the thing that's going to destroy my life, because I have identified myself as a real compulsive overeater. I have a disease. And they're giving us these options because they're trying to ease us into it. And not everybody who comes into the rooms has what I have. And so I always have to remember that I'm going to the people who have what I have for the solution that I have. What I have and what the people who I call on the phone for outreach and my sponsor has is that once I stop, I cannot stop. And there's nothing I can do having all of the knowledge in the world. I do not have sufficient power to stop this disease. And anybody who says, you know, I've been abstinent, I'm not eating this and I'm not eating that, well, I don't relate to that.
Time.
Because, okay, I'm not doing anything. God is doing it. Perfect time. Thank you.
Ah, thank you so much, Sherry M. Beautiful way to get us started. And I'll now be taking names of people who would like to share on this paragraph, page 20, the sixth paragraph, starting with, then we have a certain type of hard drinker through one paragraph ending and may even need medical attention. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Luann C.
Chanel C.
Luann C.
Christine Joe.
Chanel C.
Ashley P. Chicago.
Okay. All right. Just a second here. Ash was at Ashley T. Chicago?
A P. Like pickle.
Pickle. Okay. Chicago. And I heard Larry G. in there.
No. That was for me.
That wasn't you? Okay.
No.
Who was the gentleman's voice? Okay, maybe I didn't hear that, but I have Luann C., Ashley P., Chanel T., who else?
Christina J.
Alicia
Christina
M.
J. Christina J. And who was that other voice?
Loretta A.
Alicia M.
Alicia M. And Loretta J.
H.
Thank you. Okay, I have Luann C., Ashley P., Chanel T., Christina J., Loretta H., Alicia M. Who else? Did I miss? Wow. Okay, perfect. Thank you. And let's go with that beautiful lineup. Luann C., please go ahead and get us started, followed by Ashley P.
Hey, good morning, Dawn. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. I'm Luann C., and I'm really grateful to be recovered in Boise, Idaho today. This paragraph is really helpful to me, these paragraphs, because, you know, it reminds me who I am. And because I tend to, you know, live my life, and if I'm out in public and I see people that are overweight, the first thing I think is, oh, you know, they need OA. I've got to pitch them, you know. But I have examples around me as I'm becoming, you know, more aware. I'm getting examples of the unthinkable thought that other people are not compulsive overeaters, you know. Like I have this friend, I was having lunch with her. She had a sandwich and she said, you know, if I have bread 2 days in a row, I have to stop because, you know, I'll start craving it. And I thought, oh, no, there's no way I could do that, you know. And, you know, she said, somebody gave me a chocolate bar the other day, and every day I have one square. And I thought, oh, no, that's impossible, you know. But, you know, it's humbling because different. I have this thing going on. I have this condition. But it's also really grounding because if I have this condition, I now have a solution. And when I heard the solution in these rooms, that made me able to accept my condition because it wasn't hopeless anymore. And I'm just so grateful for this intercession by God into this human misery that we have here. Because I have a way out. And, you know, by following these steps, going, just relaxing into this process, I have a life that I never even conceived was possible. So I'm just really grateful today, and grateful to be reminded again that, you know, I have this condition, and okay, I have this condition. I have a way to live a great life. So thanks for letting me share. I hope everybody has a great day. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you, Luann C. from Idaho. Ashley P., it's your turn, followed by Chanel T.
Thanks so much. Hey, everybody. Ashley P. from Chicago, currently calling in from Tel Aviv, Israel. So grateful for this meeting and technology. I spent most of my life comparing myself to, I didn't know at the time, but because of this book and because of these paragraphs, I now understand, you know, comparing myself to moderate and hard eaters. I had, you know, family, friends, we'd start diets at the same time. And by like, you know, day one in the evening or day two, they're going strong. And I've already binged on, you know, so much food to the point where I was sick. So I'd start over again, you know, the insanity would continue. And when I read these paragraphs, it was really beautiful to finally just like accept, like, ah, okay, or understand, like, ah, I never was like them. And it wasn't a moral issue. It wasn't because I didn't have enough willpower like them. They just weren't like me. And, you know, I now accept that, and I get to remind myself of that when I'm with others. I mean, I've been, you know, traveling, I've been in really interesting circumstances. And thank God, like, I didn't need to, you know, convince myself like I used to that I was the same as others. Like, I just accepted that I was different. And, you know, I've been doing what I've needed to do to protect my program. And it's so helpful to read this and recognize I was never like those other people, and I never will be. You know, like some people say, my eyes are brown, they're never not going to be brown. I'm never not going to be a compulsive eater. And, you know, others might eat a little bit here and there. They might even eat to the point where they're sick. But the insanity that comes over me when I eat certain ingredients and the amount that takes me out of my presence, my connection with God, and my ability to just be, you know, present in everyday life, that's the difference. And I'm grateful to know that today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashley P. from Chicago, calling in from Israel. Chanel T., it's your turn to share, followed by Christina J.
Oh, thank you, Dawn. Thank you for your loyal service. Thank you to everybody on Team Tuesday. I'm Chanel T. in Washington State, grateful and recovered today by the grace of God. And I am a real compulsive eater. The hard, you know, I'm kind of glad I didn't know about this before, you know, before I came back to OA, because I probably would have tried to argue that I was a hard, and that's just hilarious because I've never been a hard drinker with food. I've never been. It didn't show in my body the first 28 years because of crazy exercise and sport and things, but may have the habit badly enough to gradually impair him physically and mentally. So it can be pretty serious for a hard drinker, hard eater. They might need to get medical attention, it says here. So it's not like it's not a problem for them. It's a problem. That's me with social media. I had to go off it, but I was able to go off social media, which I was using constantly to the point that it was interfering with life. So people laugh. That doesn't make sense, because you're not, it wouldn't make sense to someone who isn't a hard user, but it was definitely interfering with my life. I went off it in 2016. I went off it without a spiritual awakening. I went off it without the 12 steps with this, and I haven't gone back, and I've been okay. But with this, with food behaviors, I can't. I've tried just about every way possible, every way that I could think of, every way that I could possibly afford, some that I couldn't. Had things injected in me. I mean, I did a lot of crazy things. But I am different bodily and mentally. I'm different bodily and mentally. A hard eater is able to stop if there's a sufficient reason strong enough. might need some medical attention, but is able to stop doing this, able to stop harming themselves without a spiritual awakening, without the 12 steps. I'm not able to do that. And I know I'm not able to do that. And that makes it a lot easier for me. Doctor's opinion explains to me what my problem is. I have an allergy of the body. I have an obsession of the mind. This is going to go into it more in a couple paragraphs, in a few paragraphs, and actually a couple pages. It'll explain what my malady is. Thank you, Dawn. And I am so blessed that that's my malady because there's this solution for me. So grateful today that this solution works day after day after day. Grateful for this program, grateful for this meeting, grateful for this book without a pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chanel T. from Washington. Christina J., it's your turn to share, followed by Loretta H. And just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 20 today, the sixth paragraph. Then we have a certain type of hard drinker through one paragraph ending and may even need medical attention. We're commenting on that one paragraph today. So, Christina J., please share with us.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. Glad to be here. Christina J. from Washington. You know, I have to say that I'm definitely a hard eater. I am a hard, fearful eater. I'm a heavy, fearful, hard eater when I'm in my disease. And the one thing I know today is I have an allergy, which causes me not to be able to stop. I thought it was brain chemistry. I needed more dopamine. I actually thought I had a deficient brain chemistry and that I was going to need to get serotonin or dopamine. I went to doctors. I did all kinds of things around that. And then I began to have incidences of waking up in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. in the morning, sitting up with horrible acid reflux coming up, thinking that I was having a heart attack and promising myself not to do it again. Writhing in bed from food illness, from eating too much food, screaming. The guy couldn't stop throwing up because I had triggered something in my body. Screaming that I was going to stop, screaming. Going to the urgent care and not being able to control any of my body processes because of the food I'd taken in. I have been down in medical situations that have been hard, promising not to do it again. Finally getting pills, potions, all this stuff. When I would get in these places of pain, I would be able to say, I'm going to stop. This is it. But of course we know we can't because we have a true allergy. That's the main problem. But I figured I could control it with diets, you know, and I could for a while. But then the second part of the disease, the wicked obsession of the mind that I've had since I was a kid, I have always had this disease. I did not grow into this disease as it talks about in a paragraph or two, or the next paragraph, actually. He may or may not become a continuous hard drinker. You know, I became a full-blown addict out of the chute. I lived in illusion for many years. I didn't know. I can forgive myself for that. And today I want freedom. Today I want to awaken. Today I am awakening. Today I still have fear. That's my main problem about everything in life because I have deep, deep trauma in my bones. But I get to take that to God. That's what this book is about. You can have freedom. You can have awakening. You can realize that the presence lives within you and walk in that and keep going back to it. When all these things come your way, when someone comes along and you think you're doing well and you get sucker punched in the gut by some comment or somebody looks at you funny or someone, you know, drives on the freeway wrong and you get upset, whatever it is, we can take that deep breath and surrender. Always not easy, not always easy, I meant to say, but it's there for us. And the more we practice, that muscle gets stronger of going to the one, because that's really where it is. I don't want to go back to the food. I've said that a million times in and out of relapse, but I truly don't want to go back to the food now. It's in my bones now, what it does to me.
Time.
And I'd go to any length to not go back to the food because I am a heavy, hard, fearful eater with an allergy and obsession of the mind. And I know that today, and I have a solution in this book and with all of you. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina J. from Washington. Loretta H., it's your turn, followed by Alicia M., and then I'll be taking some more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph.
Good morning, Don, and all along with my precious God, you are saving my life. Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina, and welcome to the newcomer. You are our primary purpose. Oh, I've known ever since I was a little girl that I was more than even a heart of you, that I had an eating issue, and it was in my tissues. And I actually, at 5, was taken home by the hand and never allowed in a little girl's house because I ate all the Christmas cookies. And I never actually showed the disease because I basically learned how, and I had a high metabolism as a little girl. So I went throughout 54 years of my life knowing this, but not having a solution. And thank God in 2001, the angel came and rescued me from this hopeless. But then as that dash says, yes, I'm hopeless. But the dash also says I'm not helpless. And this is where I find God and found God. First, it was her. She was my smaller power. And then it was the higher power that has, along with you, saved my life. And actually, a doctor, and this, it talks about, it, you know, no matter what other things I've been able to arrest, but doctor at one time told me, because I was having like blackouts and heart problems, that I was actually eating my heart with the anorexia. So I am a real compulsive overeater. And, you know, not only can I eat anything out there, and you know, but I also eat myself. And so, and of course, it's the isms. I'm, you know, invested in seeking more stuff and, you know, trying not to show anybody that I have this, I call it defensive character, because I'm uncomfortable, because I don't like what I'm doing, but because of the disease, I hurt other people and I hurt myself. So today, no God, no peace. K-N-O-W, God. And then I don't have to take a piece out of myself, a piece out of you, or a piece out of the refrigerator, or out of the peace of mind of myself or anybody around me. So with that, I pass. Thank you, but Dawn and all, for being here for me today.
Thank you so much, Loretta H. from North Carolina. Alicia M., it's your turn to share.
Hi there. I'm Alicia. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you for everyone's share before me and for the moderator for leading the meeting. And, I'm trying to think the first time that I knew. I can't completely remember. But for me, it was like, it built. It wasn't straight away. Like my other disease was pretty straight away, and it was evident that I had a problem. For me, it built, but the emotion in food for me was always high. I remember certain times driving past the McDonald's with my mom or something, and like me just crying and absolutely losing my crap when she wouldn't turn into that drive-thru. Like, it was like physically harming me to not have that. And so my emotions were always tied up in food, and I think I relied on it for comfort and for like just that warm, fuzzy feeling inside of having something that reminded me of. For me, it was all and up until, you know, 7 months ago when I got abstinent, like food for me is always like this nostalgic kind of trying to get back a feeling that I had when I was young, when I might have had that food. Whatever good time I had with a parent or a loved one while that food was like being consumed. And then obviously that's not the whole disease. I know it's more than that, but that for me was really, really powerful And so, yeah, I now have 7 months abstinence. I'm a newcomer, and I could definitely, in the beginning I had people reaching out to me, but I could definitely use that again. And I'm on step two, and yeah, I'm just super grateful to have some time to reflect on my patterns, and I'm just kind of becoming more aware of them slowly. So I'm grateful. Thank you.
Alicia, do you want to let us know where you're calling from so people can look you up on the member list? And maybe if you could spell your first name, too.
Yeah, I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Okay. And how do you spell your first name quickly?
A-L-Y-S-S-I-A.
Perfect. Thank you so much. All right. Well, people
Thank
can
you.
Contact you from the member list. Beautiful.
Thank you so,
Thank
much.
You so much for your lovely share. Okay, well, I'm now going to take the names of people who
Margo
would like to share on this paragraph. Just 1 second, Margo. Thank you. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who besides, was it Margo B?
Yes.
Perfect. Margo? Alex
Margaret
K.
O.
Margaret
Jenny
O.
Okay.
Wait a second here. Margaret O. Was that Jenny L?
Yes.
Jenny L. And then who is that other name?
Mo K.
Mo K. Perfect. Okay, let's stop there. Margo B, Alex K, Margaret O, Jenny L, and Mo K. Margo B, please go ahead. Let us know where you're calling from. And thanks for your share with us. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Margo B. from New York, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much, everybody, for their service and the comments around the room. So they break down for me. I look at this as a teaching tool, not as a compare and despair of like, well, they can just eat a little of this. What's wrong with me type of thing? Like, I don't have to go down that rabbit hole anymore. And they go later in terms of the concept of what a real alcoholic is. What is a real compulsive overeater? So I had to concede to my innermost self, and I only learned this in the rooms, that it wasn't about the diet, it wasn't about the clothes, it wasn't about blah, blah, blah. It was about my spiritual malady, my mental obsession, and my physical allergy. And what I see when I was just out with people, it blew me away. They didn't finish eating what was on their plate. They brought it home, like who does that? And I didn't disappear. So like when the stuff came that I could not partake in, they did. But they still had a conversation with me. They still made eye contact with me. The conversation flowed. Whereas if, God forbid, I was in my alcoholic foods, that person would disappear. My eyes would no longer make eye contact with them, but rather what the waiters might have been carrying behind them. And maybe the thought would have been, let me see that menu again. It would become all about the food. It would not be about the connection. It would not be about the people. It would not be about the conversation. That's it. I'm done. You're out. I know what I want, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do to get it. And that's where my disease can take me. And it goes dark fast. And it goes into bags and boxes. And even if I controlled myself at that moment, not acting out, but the mental obsession was going on, I'm sure I would have carried that through next, you know. So for me, I just have to keep working this program, know the truth, and be okay with it, accept it, surrender it, and go to God for the solution. And that's what this big book is about, me finding God and having an intimate relationship with him, because lack of power is my dilemma. So thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Margo B. from New York. Alex K., it's your turn, followed by Margaret O.
Hi, Dawn. Did you say my name?
I sure did.
Oh, I was unmuting. Thanks, Dawn and everyone, for being here. I'm Alex K. in California, a compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. I had many good reasons to stop compulsively eating. There were so many negative impacts on my life and my physical and mental health. When I was in the food, I got very depressed, sometimes felt suicidal. I was constantly obsessed with food. It took over my life. It was all consuming and couldn't show up for commitments, for loved ones, for myself. I missed out on a lot of life because I was eating and isolating. And I remember once having, maybe more than once, heart palpitations after eating huge quantities of sugar in a short time. And I was afraid I'd die of a heart attack, but that didn't prevent me from continuing to compulsively eat. And I, even though I was abusing myself, killing myself with food, I couldn't stop for any reason. I was willing to go to any lengths to get my fix, despite all the valid reasons to stop. My disease discounted those and always found a reason to keep eating. I thought that was my only choice. I felt I had to do it because I didn't think I could bear feeling the emotional pain I was running from. I couldn't stop on my own, no matter what the reason. I couldn't use my thinking to solve my problem. I can't think my way out of insanity, and reason and logic can't solve my problem. They have no power over this disease. Only a power greater than myself can remove my obsession and compulsion, and I've received that miraculous gift. For today, I'm not suffering and struggling in this disease. I have peace with food and myself and life. And my life is completely different now. I'm so grateful. I don't feel I have to numb myself or escape anything. Even on the most difficult days, I don't think compulsively eating is a good idea. I know that's not the answer, and I have no desire to do that. I have the solution to any problem I may have right here in the steps and with my higher power. And now I'm willing to go to any lengths for my recovery. That's what's most important, and my connection with my higher power. And that's part of the psychic change I'm experiencing. I don't want to hurt myself with food anymore. I want to be kind and take care of myself, be kind and loving to myself and to others. I don't want to have to, I know I don't have to try to convince the disease. I just need the simple spiritual toolkit this program gives me. Not always easy, but simple. And that's what saves my life.
Time.
Every day. Thanks, everyone. I'm so grateful. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Alex K. from California. Margaret, it's your turn to share, followed by Jenny L.
Good morning. It's Margaret O. from Connecticut, but currently in California. And, thanks, Dawn, for your service and everybody on Team Tuesday. I have so many stories of growing up and just being bewildered by my behavior and just, you know, being kind of horrified, secretly horrified at my, extreme need for sugar and to ingest food just to push my feelings down. I mean, I'm a sensitive person, and it's one of my character defects. I mean, it's good to be sensitive, but only to a point. But I grew up in a very active household, very functional for the most part, no abuse happening, but just a lot of, kind of sparring between siblings and a lot of, extroverted behaviors going on. And I just tried to fly under the radar, and I would use food to sate my anxiety and to push my feelings down, because feelings, if they were happy, they were great. And if they weren't, they were not allowed. And I had some of those going on. So I had to, cope. And that's what I learned to do. And I got to be very sneaky with food, and I was ashamed and hiding my need to overeat. And, at this point in the program, I mean, I'm completely off sugar, but I have so many stories about, eating 7 Baby Ruth candy bars in a row. And, just like in 6th grade with a girlfriend behind her house, it's just all this very bizarre behavior around food, and just feeling helpless, just in the wilderness of the food, and not understanding myself and feeling ashamed about it and guilty. So, you know, now I'm learning how to connect with people without hiding my true feelings. And that is a whole different way of being in the world that I'm not very adept with. I get reluctant to, you know, really just say who I am and what I'm feeling and have that be okay, because I've held back on that for so many years of my life and isolated myself. And so I'm just developing these skills through the tools of this program, and I'm grateful to be abstinent and working my steps and sponsoring and just all the jewels that this program brings, the healing and the help that is in these rooms. So if you're a newcomer, stay put. You're in a great place. We're here for you and you're there for us. And that's about it for me today. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Margaret O. from Connecticut. Jenny L., it's your turn, followed by Mo K.
Good morning. This is Jenny L. from Ohio. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Yes, I was definitely a hard eater. I still would be if I wasn't in this program. I was a hard eater my entire life. I don't remember ever not overeating. And my friends, family, whatever, people looking at me going, why is she doing this? Like, I was always overweight from a young age, very overweight. Looking at pictures now, I wasn't, but it was, you know, the late 80s and 90s. So people, at least in my area, were obsessed with being thin, and I wasn't. And I thought I just really liked eating. And the looks that I would get and the little comments from my dad and my grandmother were just too much for me. So I learned at a very young age how to sneak eat, how to hide things in the trash underneath things, how to stuff stuff in my pockets and eat it, you know, hidden in the bathroom or in my bedroom or whatever. And like later, you know, at friends' houses, at sleepovers, I would eat everything that was available, and I would make myself sick to the point of the next morning when I'd go home, I'd be throwing up. And I said, like, oh, we went swimming and I drank too much pool water. I would make up excuses and lies about what I was doing. And, you know, I would go out to eat, and we'd have, you know, with a group of friends, we'd have plans. We'd go out, like, it'd be dinner followed by something else. And I never made it to the something else. I would eat so much when we went out to dinner, and I'm a short person. I'm only 5'1", so I can, you know, even being a compulsive overeater, there's only so much I can put inside my body. So even just going to, let's say, the Cheesecake Factory, their portions are very large and I'm very small. So even if I eat, you know, 3/4 of that portion, I would be so full that I just wanted to go home and get into bed and get in my PJs. And I canceled a lot of movies, a lot of shows, a lot of fun stuff, because I was just too full to do anything. So, and you know, later on, you know, when I was in college, I would steal my roommate's food and lie about it. And it was just, you know, and this program taught me, obviously, through the steps, how to just, you know, put honesty above all and, you know, not steal or hide or cheat and just do, you know, do what's right. And that's how I live my life today. And I'm in a healthy body weight now, and I don't fight the food ever. I might have food thoughts here and there if there's something going on, but I take care of that and I don't have to eat over it. And I'm just so, so, so grateful for this program and the
time.
people and just the life that I have now because of this program. So thank you, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Jenny L. from Ohio. Mo K., please share with us.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mo K., calling from California, recovered compulsive overeater, one day at a time. So thank you so much, Don, for leading this meeting and for everyone for being here. I was struck by the quote that hit me was, if a sufficiently strong reason ill health ..., you know, this man can also stop or moderate. And it just fast-forwarded me to two instances in my life. One, towards the end of my being in the heart of the disease before knowing the program, my father-in-law was ill and at the end of his life and was given a diagnosis. And I remember him and my mother-in-law changing his diet and having smoothies and taking sugar out. And I was so impressed of like, wow, like they were doing everything at the end to do what they could for his health. And I remember thinking, wow, is that what it would take for me to stop eating sugar? And I remember also thinking, even if that was at the end, I don't know that I could do that. Actually, I don't know that I could stop and have really healthy foods, everything to give my body what it needs. And I remember it kind of struck me just how deeply this was inside me, this disease, that I could not stop no matter what. And fast forward a few years when I got my own diagnosis, and it was not as severe as his, but it was similar of a disease where sugar would make it grow. And guess what? I could not stop. And I was actually even in the rooms. And guess what? I could not stop but thankfully I know the reason I can't stop is I'm a compulsive overeater through and through. And it only solidified to me the gift of it was it showed me I can't stop. I can't. I am powerless. I am powerless and I need a power greater than myself. And it reminds me of the simple way of saying steps 1, 2, and 3. I can't. God can. I think I'll let God. And I think that for me, I know today, thank you by the grace of God, to be in a healthy body, to be able to not eat that substance anymore one day at a time is a true miracle, one day at a time. And I can't control what's going to happen. There's so much in life I can't control, but I feel like I'm following good, orderly direction because I know my higher power did not want me to keep putting that in my body. It was hurting me. And I like to say when I look at a substance now, and I still have to talk to it one day at a time because fear alone will get me to stop. But when I see a substance that I no longer eat, I say, I love you, but you don't love me back. And that's the reality. It reminds me of what follows. And thank you for my higher power in this program for showing me a new way of living. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Mo K. And thank you to everyone who shared, making this meeting just really, really special. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Chanel T. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Yes, thank you. Page 164, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you